This morning, if you'd please take your Bible and open to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse 14 and verse 15. These two verses I used as a text verse starting point last Sunday. I used those same two verses again this morning. The message last Sunday and the message this Sunday kind of go hand in hand, all right? Last Sunday we talked about the pastor's ministry to his church. Today we're going to talk about the church's ministry to their pastor. And we're starting at the same place, though we'll talk about other scriptures today as well. We're starting at the same place, and I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy here. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15, it says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Here the Apostle Paul is trying to write to Timothy and tell him, these things are written to you so that you would know how the church should behave, how the church should be run, how things should happen within the church's ministry. In most churches, it's this way. There's at least one pastor. If it's larger, of course, sometimes there's more than one pastor. Then normally there's deacons, and then there's other workers, of course, and church members. But most all churches have that same basic setup, okay? And the pastor is the one that God has called to lead and to try to make sure that the church is being taught right and instructed in the Word of God and so forth. And so you've got the leadership and you've got the membership, and they're to work together to do the work of the Lord. As I said in last week's message, we talked about the pastor's ministry to his church. And if you remember with me, we talked about his ministry of prayer, his ministry of preaching, his ministry of preparing, his ministry of protecting, and then his ministry of perfecting. Those thoughts are things that we talked about last week concerning the pastor's ministry to his church. Now today, we're going to turn it around and just go the opposite direction, and we're going to talk about the church's ministry to their pastor. It is important for us all to realize that this is it's supposed to be a reciprocal relationship. I have something that I'm supposed to bring to you and offer to you, but you have something that you're supposed to bring and offer to me as well. So we talk about both in this two-part message. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll get into the thoughts that I have for you today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Pray that you'll guide and direct in the conversation this morning. Help me as I speak. Help me to know what to say. Help me, Lord, even to know what not to say. Guide and direct my thoughts and my words. And may this be a time of learning for some, reminder for others, but a time when we together realize how important our relationship together is as we continue our ministry in this church. It's not just the pastor, but it's the pastor and the membership as well. Bless us now, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The church's ministry to their pastor. Several things I want to mention this morning, and I'll give you the first one first, not necessarily in order of importance, but the church should support their pastor. The church should support their pastor. Hopefully some of you will remember this account in Scripture. I'm referring to a passage in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, where we have a battle between the nation of Israel and the nation of Amalek. In this particular account in Exodus 17, Moses is standing on the top of a hill, and he's got his hands lifted up towards heaven. And he's no doubt talking with God and asking God to help the children of Israel as they battle with Amalek. Of course, many of the people that are members of the nation are fighting in the battle, all right? But in this particular account in Exodus chapter 17, as Moses' hands are lifted up towards heaven, Israel is winning the battle. As his hands continue to be held up towards heaven, they get heavy and they begin to droop a little bit. And as his hands begin to droop a little bit, Amalek starts to prevail. And in this account again, Exodus chapter 17, two men from the people in Israel, Aaron and Hur, come alongside of Moses and hold up his hands. And once again, of course, Israel prevails, and they do win this battle. Just like Aaron and Hur come alongside Moses to hold up his hands and making it possible for Israel to win against Amalek, in very much the same way, every pastor needs good people who will stand beside him and support him and hold him up. Every pastor needs that. Recently, a survey was done among pastors to find out why they quit the ministry. The overwhelming response of those who quit the ministry was this: a lack of support from my followers. A lack of support from my followers. Now, there's lots of ways that you can support your pastor. I'm just going to give you three. But one way to support the pastor is by means of prayer. I don't know if you realize how very much I need your prayers. I need you to pray for me that God will give me wisdom to know, for instance, what to speak on, what topics to talk about. Even as I'm preparing and as I'm delivering the message, I covet your prayers that I would say what God wants me to say and not say what God doesn't want me to say. God knows what you need, much more than I know what you need. And many times, and if you've been in church for a while, you've experienced this, where God uses a certain passage of Scripture to speak to your heart about something specific to you. The pastor didn't know that. He didn't even intend it the way it worked on your heart, but God knew that. So that's why, again, it's important for you to pray for your pastor and support him in that way. Pray that God will give him wisdom to know what to speak on, even how to speak on it, how to deliver it, and so forth, how to counsel with people, how to talk with people, how to lead the church, what does God want us to do as far as decisions and ministries and, you know, different stuff like that. Pray for his overall health and well-being. If the devil can, he's going to try to destroy the pastor, because if he can destroy the pastor, then he can destroy the church. So he works overtime trying to destroy and discourage the leadership of the church. And again, your prayers are so very important. Several ways, just three ways that I wrote down. There's many ways, but one way to support your pastor is by means of prayer. Another way you can support your pastor, by the way, is by way of participation. Participation. It may seem like a little thing to you, but just showing up makes a big difference. Participation. The people that are not regular in their attendance don't realize what it does to those of us who are. Please notice I included you in that. The people that are not regular in their attendance don't realize how that affects the rest of us. And especially the guy that's standing behind the pulpit here this morning. It affects us all a great deal. And I don't know that it affects you the exact same way that it affects me, but I can tell you it affects me a lot. It does affect me a lot. And I just try to, you know, keep on going and do what the Lord is asking me to do and so forth. But participation is a big part of it. You know, just showing up. Just being here. Just participating. Just making your very best to be here and to be present. Even if, you know, I mean, I'll leave that for another message. But just Just showing up, just participating, okay? And then if there's extra things like, getting involved in this special menu that we're having today, or like next month when we're going to have our anniversary Sunday, getting involved in that part of the meal, or getting involved in it. We had several people come, and I was thankful for that, who helped clean out the bus barn, and, you know, just showing up, just participating, just being there. You may not have a lot of talents and abilities, and you might say, well, I can't play the piano, or I can't play the organ, or I can't sing, or I can't lead the songs, or I can't do this or that or the other. But what can you do? You know, what God has given all of us the ability to at least show up, to at least to be there, just to be there with a smile and to shake someone's hand and greet someone who came in, and just being there, just being present, just, you know... Sounds kind of silly when I just think about it, but just showing up and breathing the air in this room. It makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. How can you support your pastor? Number one, by prayer. Number two, by means of participation. And then here's a third thing I thought of, and I just wrote this down quick. Support him by not having unreasonable expectations. Support him by not having unreasonable expectations. I'm not saying this next statement as a cop-out. I hope you'll take me seriously when I tell you that. I mean it sincerely. But I cannot build this church. If you're counting on me to build this church, I know you already have been greatly disappointed. And you will continue to be greatly disappointed. I can't build this church. I don't think you can either. I think we all can invite people. I think we all can pray that the church will grow. I think we can do our best to show up so that when visitors show up, they're not looking at an empty auditorium. Amen. But we're not the ones that build the church. You know who builds the church? God does. In fact, Jesus' own words, he said, I will build my church. Amen. This is the Lord's church. This is his. We show up, we want to hear from him, we want to worship him, we want to learn of him. You understand, I hope you do anyway, that in all those things I talked about last week, prayer, preaching, preparing, protecting, perfecting, I'll do the very best I can in all those areas, but God has to build the church. God has to do it. It's his church, it's his ministry. He has to do it, and if he doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. So please don't put unreasonable expectations on me. Please realize I'm just a human being. I'm just someone who's honestly doing the very best I can. And let's trust the Lord for the results. But you can support your pastor by means of prayer, by means of participation, and by means of not having unreasonable expectations. So the church's ministry to their pastor, number one, the church should support their pastor. Number two, the church should also take care of their pastor. The church should take care of their pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 1 Timothy chapter 5, there's other passages, but these two passages in particular clearly show us that the person who's been chosen to lead and teach in the church family is worthy of your financial support. Another of those pastors who has asked, why did you quit the ministry? Another popular answer, besides a lack of following, another popular answer among those who quit was this: financial pressure. Financial pressure. I believe that financial pressure should never be the reason that a pastor gives up on his calling to the ministry. Financial pressure should not be a reason. Now, having said that, I believe every pastor should remember that God is the one who called you, and whether the church pays you well or not, God has called you, and you should do it to the best of your ability. I can honestly say this, and please understand, this is not prideful in any way or boastful in any way, just the honest truth. In each church that I've gone to, I have not made any requirements as to what the church had to pay me. I've never done that. And that's just an agreement between me and the Lord, because I believe and have always believed that if God wanted me there, He'd take care of me. And I can honestly say this, everywhere I've been, God has taken care of me. Sometimes better than other times, but God has always taken care of me. I don't mind saying right here at this point in the message, this church right here has always taken very good care of me. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that. So the pastor needs to remember that God called you and you should go there doing it to the best of your ability. But I also would say, along with this point here, that the church should do their very best to relieve the pastor of financial struggle, which makes his ministry more difficult. Sometimes it's been talked about, sometimes it's been chuckled about. Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. That's not a good attitude on the part of the church family. The church should do their best to relieve their pastor of financial pressure. They should always do the very best they can to pay their pastor as much as they can, not the least they can get by with. The church should do the very best they can to give their pastor as much as they can, not the least they can get by with. Again, I'm not complaining because I have no reason to complain. Stoughton Baptist Church has taken care of this man behind this pulpit very, very well. For all the years that I've been here, I have no complaints. In fact, as the deacons are here in the audience this morning, and they know this, most every January when we start talking about the budget for the new year, that topic is always one of the first things that come up, and they want to be able to give me more. And just because of the way things are with my VA and insurance coverage and all that, I can't take any more salary. And you know, there's certain things that you have to account for when you do your taxes. And so I can't take any more. Otherwise, I'll hurt those benefits. I don't know about you. I don't want to hurt those benefits. I need those benefits on Tuesday. Hello. You should know this, by the way. I don't mind telling you this. In 2024, when I had my heart attack and I had open heart surgery and a triple bypass, I didn't have to pay one nickel for that. Not one nickel. Nothing. You know what? That's the goodness of God. I mean that with all my heart. Because that's a very expensive operation. And they saved my life. And I'm so very thankful for the VA healthcare that I have. And Sarah's here. You can back me up on this. Every time we go in for an appointment, and every time we go in to see some doctor or some physician's assistant or whoever you get to see, we always try to make a point to tell them how much we appreciate our VA healthcare. They get enough negative press. I want them to hear something positive from us. I want them to know that we appreciate what they do for us. So again, I'm getting off track here a little bit. I don't want to jeopardize that. So normally what the deacons will say to me in that first meeting of the year then is this: Pastor, if you need anything throughout the year, you let us know, and we'll do what we can to try to meet that need. And again, it just shows the heart of the deacons, and I think the heart of the church family also. They want to take care of their pastor, and God will always bless that. Listen to this, and then I'll move on. Any church who will take care of their pastor and their missionaries will always be blessed of God. Always. We're talking this morning about the church's ministry to their pastor. Number one, the church should support their pastor. Number two, the church should take care of their pastor. Number three, the church should obey their pastor. The church should obey their pastor. Now, I encourage you to listen all the way through, because it sounds kind of dictatorial, and I don't mean it that way in any way. But there's two verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7 says this: Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The other verse is verse 17, which says this, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." These two verses tell us that you have a responsibility to the one that God has placed over you spiritually, which is your pastor, who's there to teach you and preach to you God's word. You have a responsibility to submit yourself to them. And it says in verse 17, to obey them. In other words, you hear what he has to say, and you try your best to follow through with what he says. You know this about me. If you've been with me for any length of time, I try my very best not to be a dictatorial person. I really do. I try to remain humble and realize I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I've been placed in this church body just like you. I'm a sinner just like you are. I've just been given a different position, a different responsibility. When I leave behind this pulpit, when I leave that and come down on the floor, I'm just like you. I'm just a member here. That's all, okay? But I also know this in Scripture, and you know this. Jesus is our great shepherd. And in every church, he's left an under-shepherd. He's called the pastor. And that pastor's been given the responsibility as an under-shepherd to lead the church as Jesus would lead the church while our Lord is in heaven until he comes back for us. So we're to recognize, as members, we're to recognize the pastor as God's chosen representative to the flock and to hear what he has to say and try to follow through with what he has to say. That's in the word obey. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now here's why. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That verse tells me that if I can stand before the Lord one day as a pastor and give an account for my sheep, and give a good account, that's profitable for you. But if I stand before our great shepherd and I have to give an account that's not positive, that's unprofitable for you. Please understand that it's not a dictatorial thing in any way, but God wants the membership to obey their pastor because it'll be profitable for you. I will do my very best, I promise, to only say what God wants me to say. And by the way, even after I deliver the message, it's between you and God what you do with it. I'm not going to follow you around and make sure you're obeying what we're talking about here. But I do have a responsibility to deliver, thus saith the Lord. Because you know what? One day I'll stand before God and have to give an account for my sermons. And did I say what he wanted me to say? You will give an account on whether or not you followed through with it or not. That's your responsibility. We're talking this morning about the church's ministry to their pastor. Number one, support him. Number two, take care of him. Number three, obey him. Number four, the church should love their pastor. Amen. The church should love their pastor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 12 and 13 reminds us to esteem, listen to these words, comes right out of the verses, esteem the pastor very highly in love for his work's sake. Esteem the pastor very highly in love for his work's sake. Now there's lots of scriptures in the Bible where you and I are told to love one another. But right here, we are told to esteem the pastor very highly in love for his work's sake. As the under-shepherd and leader of the flock, he, the pastor, stands before the people as God's chosen representative for him. He stands before you as God's messenger to speak to you on God's behalf. I don't know what you think about that, but that's a pretty good reason to esteem that person highly in love for his work's sake, wouldn't you say? I mean, if you really understand that it's God's chosen representative, God's chosen messenger. Now, again, I hope again you don't understand. I'm not talking about getting a big head or puffing up with pride or look at me. I'm not saying that whatsoever, because I myself do not feel qualified and I don't feel like I should be in this spot. But I do believe that God has asked me to do this, and so I do it to the best of my ability and the best that I can. And trying to explain to you and instruct you today about what God says about your ministry to your pastor, I think the church has done a pretty good job of that so far. I hope that'll continue. I believe it will. The church should love their pastor. Again, number one, support him, take care of him, obey him, love him. Number five, the church should defend their pastor. The church should defend their pastor. I'm pretty sure everybody here is familiar with Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Not many weeks ago, I preached a whole message on that. I just entitled it, These Six Things. Of course, it goes on to say, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And I preached our way through that list of things that God says. But just to refresh your memory, in Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, God lists out for us seven things that he hates. Among those seven things that he hates are a lying tongue, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Think about it now. A lying tongue, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Remember that survey I talked about earlier among pastors who quit the ministry? Why did you quit? Some of the reasons they gave. One of them, of course, was a lack of following. One of them was financial pressures. You ready for the third most common answer? The third most common answer to that question, why did you quit the ministry, was this: attacks on the pastor. Attacks on the pastor. Now, having said that, every pastor has to learn to die to self, to develop a thick skin, to best as you can ward off and let go those personal attacks and criticisms that come. Because guess what? When you're out front trying to lead, that's who they're going to attack. Satan knows that. That's how he works. That's what he does. And sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses people that are close to you. You know this because I've shared this with you before, but through the years that I've been in the ministry, I've had people that were very close to me that decided one day that they didn't want to be my friend anymore and became attackers, said very unkind things and did very unkind things. As difficult as it was, and I'm just trying to be honest with you, I tried to love them anyway. Several of them, not every one of them, but several of them, as years have passed by, have come back and apologized. We hugged. I let them know I forgave them. It's not an issue. I'm not hanging on to it. Life is too short to hang on to those things. Attacks are going to come. But please hear this, church family. God's people should try to help their pastor by not being unfairly critical themselves, and also, secondly, by defending him against those who are critical and speak unkindly of him. So number one, not being unfairly critical yourself, and number two, defending him when someone else is. By the way, if you do love your pastor, why would you stand idly by while someone else is ripping him apart? What I'm talking about here, of course, is that no church member should stand idly by while someone, whether that someone is a member or a non-member, speaks unkindly of their pastor. Many, many times, the one who is speaking unkindly about the pastor will be silenced if no one is willing to listen. Sometimes the very best thing to do is just change the subject. You know, I've often thought this about those who are attackers and those who are willing to listen to the attacks. If you really think all that's true, then why don't you go somewhere else? If it really is that bad here, don't you think that too about people who attack America? I hear people say that. I heard many of you say that. If you don't like it here in America, why don't you go somewhere else? Try living like you live here. Try living like that over in Afghanistan. Or try living like that over in China. Or try living like that over in Russia or Iran or somewhere like that. Try living, you know, with the freedoms and liberties we have here. Try that over there. If it's really that bad here, then go over there. I think that sometimes about churches too. If it's really that bad here, or if I'm, as your pastor, really that, you know, unqualified and unworthy of following and all that kind of stuff, then why don't you go somewhere where you can follow? I'm pretty sure as the years have gone by, some have. I'm not naive. But I can promise you this, as long as you want to be here, I will love you. And I'll try my best to faithfully declare God's word. And when you call me in the middle of the night and you want me to come, I'll come. When you have a death in your family, I'll do my best to be there. I'll try to support you in your time of need. When earlier I was talking about unreal expectations, I know that you already know this. And please don't forget the smile. When I think about unreasonable expectations, I think about, I just have to tell you this. I will never be a Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll, some of those big names that you see on television that people flock to see, you know, and they pan the audience and there's thousands of people out in the audience. If you're hoping I'll be that, you're going to be sadly disappointed. You know, I can only be the best me that I can be. Amen. So, unreal expectations. I can't measure up to some of those guys. I'm not even trying, by the way. And I know you're thinking, I can tell that. I can tell you're not even trying to be like them. But seriously, concerning those who would speak negatively about our church or our ministries or our missionaries or the pastor, one of the best things, just don't listen to that. Just walk away. Change the subject. Get them off of that. You know, just because when you listen, all it does is feed the problem. All it does is feed the problem. All right, so we're talking about the church's ministry to their pastor. Number one, support him. Number two, take care of him. Number three, obey him. Number four, love him. Number five, defend him. I just have two more. Number six, the church should free their pastor. The church should free their pastor. In last week's sermon, I mentioned what a church can expect of their pastor's ministry. And I know you'll remember this again, ministry of prayer, ministry of preaching, ministry of preparing, ministry of protecting, ministry of perfecting. Those are all reasonable things that you can expect of your pastor's ministry. The church would do well to assist their pastor with as many of the other church-type activities as possible in order that he might give his time to those basic tasks that God has given him to do. You may remember from last week's message, I used the passage there in Acts chapter 6 about choosing deacons to take care of some of the menial tasks so that the pastors could give their hearts and lives to the study of the word and prayer. That's freeing the pastor as much as you can so that he can do the things that God wants him to do and has called him to do. Do everything you can to make those God-given duties easier so that you take care of the lesser things, okay? Do everything you can to help. Don't expect him to be involved in a lot of those lesser activities that others could do. You know, there are things that others can't do, okay? Like, I'm guessing, but most of you probably couldn't deliver the sermon today. Amen. I don't expect you to. That's my responsibility, okay? Most of you, Sarah's wiping her brow. She's really glad to hear that. Most of you couldn't lead the singing. You know, it's another task that I've taken on because we don't have a song leader. And right now we don't have a piano player either. But, you know, I don't know that I could play the piano. In fact, I know I can't, so I'm not even going to try. But you understand, there are tasks that, you know, certain people just... But you know, I could usher, but I shouldn't have to usher because we got men who can do that. We have deacons who can help with the Lord's Supper service. See? We have deacons who can count the money. We have deacons who can record the giving. You know, we have people that can do other tasks that I don't have to do. See? Just like when we had that cleaning out the bus barn. There were plenty of folks out there that were working while I was here preparing messages for the church services and so forth. That's what I mean by freeing up the pastor, that he can do the main things that God has called him to do, and that allows him to be able to do, again, what God is asking him to do. So free the pastor. Again, this church has done pretty well that way, okay? I know of situations, because I get to talk to other pastors, where they have to do pretty much everything. And I think most pastors understand, especially when the church is smaller, more of that falls on the pastor and his wife. But man alive, there are churches where there's enough people in the church that could handle some of those things. He shouldn't have to. So that's the area that I'm talking about here when I say the church should free their pastor. One more thought that I want to give you real quick here. Our time's about gone, but number 7 is this. The church should encourage their pastor. The church should encourage their pastor. Encourage him in his ministry of prayer, preaching, preparing, protecting, and perfecting. Encourage him. You know, sometimes just a word of encouragement is all he needs. Maybe a note, but maybe just a word of encouragement. Encourage him in his ministry of prayer, preaching, preparing, protecting, and perfecting. Encourage him by exhorting him to be the man of God that God wants him to be. Encourage him by exhorting him to be the man of God that God wants him to be. Encourage him by exhorting him to follow God's word and to lead the church to do the same. I'm glad that at least so far, our church has been this way. I do not sense pressure from our congregation to change what the Bible says in order to be more accepting to people. I read an article this week about that very topic. In America, there are several churches. Of course, they're not independent Baptist churches, thankfully. But there are several churches in America that are changing the message in order to accommodate the people. And some of the ways that they're changing the message were listed out in this article. And friend, there's no better way to say it than this. They were adding to what Scripture says. They were adding to what Scripture says. Example, one particular church was teaching their people that Jesus had a wife. I read that and I thought, what? What? I'm glad that in our church, I don't sense pressure from our congregation to change what the Bible says, either adding to or subtracting from, changing what the Bible says in order to be more accommodating to the people. Most of the time, the people that I've talked with, they are encouraging me to preach the word and just keep on preaching the word. Amen. We like that you preach the word, Pastor. We want you to keep on preaching the word. Tell us what the Bible says. Teach us what the Bible says. Encourage him by exhorting him to follow God's word and lead the church to do the same. So here's the thoughts, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. This message, last week, of course, was what you can expect of me. This message is designed to help the church to better understand the proper relationship the church should have with their pastor and what they're supposed to do for him. And there's seven things that I mentioned: to support him, to take care of him, to obey him, to love him, to defend him, to free him, and to encourage him. I want to say again, and I think I've made it clear as I've gone through the outline today, I think our church is doing a pretty good job in most all these areas, and I want to thank you for that. Thank you for that very much. We work together, hopefully like a hand in glove, to carry forth God's word to anyone who will listen, be it in this area or through our missionaries in different parts of the world. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. My encouragement to you and to me is let's keep doing that as long as our Lord waits to return. Let's just keep on doing that. One day soon, he'll say, okay, it's time to come home. He'll take us home. But in the meantime, let's just be faithful to do what God's asked us to do and leave the results up to him. Because the results are his, you know. Not ours. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to come forward because we don't have a piano player to do that, but we're standing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to encourage you today. Thank you for being my church family. Thank you for allowing me to be the pastor here. Next month, September, we're going to celebrate our church's 57th anniversary. We're also going to celebrate my 18th anniversary here as your pastor. I'm thankful for all the 18 years that God has allowed us to be together. How many more before he comes for us, I'm not sure. But I want to be found faithful when he comes. How about you? Amen. Heavenly Father, as we close our service in prayer today, thank you for your word. Yes. Thank you for the simple things we shared both last Sunday and this Sunday. Help us all, pastor and people, to fulfill our responsibilities to one another. And I know when we do that, you will bless. I do pray that you'll bless our congregation. Keep us on the right track. Help us not to stray in any way. Help us to do our very best to share your word with anyone who will listen, both in this area and through our missionaries around the world. And we'll thank you for the results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.